Oh, the car from Carvana's here. Well, will you look at that? It's exactly what I ordered. Like, precisely. It would be crazy if there were any catches. But there aren't, right?
Right. Because that's how car buying should be. With Carvana, you get the car you want. Choose delivery or pickup and a week to love it or return it.
Buy your car today with
Carvana.
Delivery or pickup fees may apply. Limitations and exclusions may apply. See our 7-day return policy at Carvana.com.
Hi, Mark the producer here. Don't worry, I'm not going to sing. Just a quick note to say that we used a new bit of equipment this week to record the podcast, and I must confess, I ballsed up the settings massively. You may experience some rather odd sounding audio that sounds a bit like we recorded it in a room made of Velcro. It's all sort of that sort of thing. I won't bore you with the details, but I think it's something to do with sample rates or something, which I'll hopefully fix by next week. And the levels all over the place, and someone's really loud, and well, I'm really loud, and someone else is really quiet, and it's all just a bit messy. But if you can bear with us for this week, we'll hopefully get it sorted out by next week. Anyway, enjoy!
This is just a guide to modern life. Modern life is hard to get just right. It can frustrate you and annoy, and if it does, right into Dear Lovejoy.
Welcome to the award-winning Dear Lovejoy podcast. This is an advice podcast. We all have problems. Even people without problems have problems. I will help you problemless people with your problems. That's what I'll do. Though, never ever forget, if you are taking advice off me, you're taking advice off a TV presenter. Dress it up any way you want. But it's like taking financial advice off the fella down the pub. Mark is here to keep me in check. Hello, Mark.
Hi, Tim. Hi, everyone.
Mark is distracted today because we've got new equipment and new material. New hardware, basically, isn't it? We've got a new mixing desk.
I'm pretty anxious. I'll be honest, I can't even tell if it's recording now. So you might not be hearing this ever.
Mark might be distracted during this week's podcast. Anyway, this week's podcast is brought to you by Quooker. Hot water on tap. They're not really our sponsor, but they should be because our podcast is brought to you by instant, immediate hot drinks. Mark, they laughed at me, didn't they? We were just discussing actually before the show how brilliant my Quooker is. It's a tap, one of those hot water taps. They laughed at me when I said I was getting one. All my friends went, ha, what are you doing? Getting a hot water tap.
Quite excited.
Oh, were you?
I've been trying to get my family to get one.
It's one of the best inventions ever. I was mocked, Mark. I was mocked for
it. Don't listen to them, Tim.
I was mocked for it. It's but I recently upgraded. Mark, how good is it? Now it has hot water, it has filtered cold water.
That's so good.
And it has a hose, a flexible hose on it. People mocked me, Mark.
Do you know my favourite thing?
I don't
about
have a kettle, Mark.
I know. Do you know my favourite thing about it? The flashy light bit.
Yeah, now it lights up, doesn't it? It lights red for hot and blue. It is absolutely, it's up there with one of those inventions. It's, you know, they say the wheel is a good invention.
I think they're idiots, those people who say that.
I think the bag or the bucket is more important than the wheel, because you actually have to carry stuff around. There's no point having a wheel unless you've got something to carry it with. So I think that, but I did just think hot water on tap. Do you know the bloke who came to fit it the other day? I'm not sure I'm pronouncing it right, by the way. Quooker.
I think it's Quooker or Quooker.
It's German, I believe. And the bloke was telling me that, oh no, it's not German. It's not German, it's Dutch.
Well, this sponsorship's going well, Tim.
It's Dutch. And I know that because the guy told me, I've just remembered. The guy invented it in 1970-something, I think. Right. And can you imagine when he first brought it to the public's attention? Hey, I bought a tap which has hot water, but it's so hot that you can make a cup of tea with it.
He must have been like the Da Vinci of the tap world. People ridiculed him when he was alive.
I'm going to look it up while we speak.
Hopefully he's still alive.
Do you know what? I'm going to Google, Mark. Here we go. Googling.
Tim is Googling on the internet, looking for information to fill up his head. To fill up his head, or just to fill up the time. Wasting yours and mine. Oh, no, no, no.
Okay, here is the Quicker Manufacturer Petery. But I'm not saying that right.
Are you just finding more words you can't?
Yeah. Netherlands. It wasn't Holland, it was the Netherlands.
Oh, right. Okay. I thought they were Dutch.
Yeah. Anyway, 1973 70 to 75 was when they came out, these things. So, Mike, do you know what the funniest thing about it was? When I first had one in store, which is quite a few years ago now, I was quite a pioneer with this technology.
Oh, Tim, you are always ahead of the curve.
And my mum hated it so much because she couldn't get her head around it, that when she used to come over to my house to babysit for my kids...
Tell me she brought her own kettle.
I knew it.
I've only met your mum once, but I knew that.
She used to turn up with a bag with a
like
kettle.
Like Mary Poppins, yeah. With lampshade and a kettle.
Yeah, kettle. And she was like, oh, I'm not using that. So, and I go, it's boiling hot water, mum. So, but everyone always says the same thing. Oh, you'll scald yourself. You do it, but
these
you
new,
don't.
These newfangled things like fridges, I just...
Anyway, I'm not getting paid to say this, but if you get a new kitchen, you've got to get a hot water tap, a cooker. They are unbelievable. Life-changing, that's what I'd say. Let's do a little catch-up then. Seriously, there's no need to take a trip to Ego Corner, Mark. I think this podcast is getting a lot more listeners. We've been inundated with lovely tweets. Thank you, everyone who's joined us in our merry little gang of podcast listeners.
I think we're going to have to put some traffic lights just outside Ego Corner to alleviate the congestion. It's getting quite busy.
What's really nice, though, is people have started listening to it, and then they're listening to the back catalogue, as I mentioned in last week's podcast, and then they keep bringing up stuff from...
Back catalogue makes it feel a little bit grand.
We've done 45, have we? 46?
This is 48, my friend.
48? See, we're near... Oh, what are we doing for 50? Get drunk. No, let's not. That's cliche. Let's not do that. Get drunk. What are we going to do for 50?
We should be sober for one of them.
What are we going to do for 50?
I don't know. What are you doing for 50 next year, Tim?
Well, I don't know. Nothing. What are we going to do for 50 of these?
Don't know. Special guest.
Anyway, such lovely tweets. Our egos are all over the shop at the moment. So thank you very much for that. That's an expression my granddad used to say, all over the shop. You don't hear that very often now.
Yeah, but
do
that
you?
Doesn't. That's not what that means.
What does it mean?
All over the shop is like confused and raggedy. And
that's how we feel.
No, it's not.
It's all over. Everything's all over the shop. It's all over. Yeah, it
no,
is.
No, that's a completely wrong use of that.
Why?
Is it just that's just a wrong bit of use? I was actually
we're all over
I was
the
in
shop.
My room
we're,
the other
we're
day.
We're so happy with the fact we don't know where they're coming or going. We're all over the shop.
I was actually in my room the other day with the guitar trying to come up with a thing, because you always get sayings and phrases mixed up, and I think I've got one.
Don't
for
make that into a thing.
Tim's tangled turn of phrase. It's called.
Oh, nice. Stop trying to. I did one the other day, didn't I? Stop trying to make me look stupid. I'm not. I know my stuff. My nan used to say silly bugger all the time, which I thought was harmless. And I went on Soccer AM once and I called one of the fans of the week a silly bugger.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. It's really...
It's not okay, that
it's
one.
It's really not okay to say that on television.
I'm on one of our first radio shows.
I got in proper trouble with that.
On one of our first radio shows together, I used the word nobber. That's not okay either.
That sounds okay.
Nobber's not great.
Doesn't sound like that would be offensive.
I mean, keep saying nobber's not brilliant either.
Do you think, though, if someone's to say to you, this is the problem with words, they're just words, and if I was to say to you, oh, Mark, you silly bugger, it's really not that offensive, is it? I mean, the connotation
but
of the word is...
But they all mean the same thing. Sod is the same as well, isn't
it? Yeah, I suppose so.
Well, that's
so
turf as well.
Yeah, okay. Listen, we also had an update on the Coke collection. Anyone who doesn't know, Adam wrote in to us about his dad Tony's Coke memorabilia collection. He didn't know what to do with it. We put a picture, by the way, on Twitter, and everyone was impressed. If you want to see it, go to my media section in my Twitter profile, and the pics are up there. I've got so many lovely tweets about it. People were genuinely impressed, weren't they, because we discussed it. He's got this collection. His dad's died, but his dad collected so many Coke bottles. Do you remember how many it was? It was thousands, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It's a really impressive photograph. Yeah. And he wanted to know what to do with it. My advice was sort of, you've got to get rid of it somehow, but maybe phone up Coke or a museum or something and get rid of it. My favourite tweet, though, was from a guy. This guy's called Adam, I think. Oh, no. Hold it there. I'm going to find this guy's Twitter address. Mark, pause. We're back. I want to give this guy credit because he did do a joke and it was quite funny. It was my favourite tweet about the Coke collection. Ross Nelson says, I can't believe I've ruined it for him. I'll start again. Ross Nelson says, the only person with more Coke than that was Pablo Escobar. Bum, bum.
Hey.
I liked it. Adam actually emailed us to say, good evening, Mark and Tim. Sorry, I'm only just coming back to you. Firstly, I've just heard the podcast and thank you both for your advice. It's greatly appreciated. And to be honest, I think you have hit the nail on the head. If it goes to a good home, I think that's the most important thing to me. Of course, you can put the pictures on Twitter. We basically asked him for permission to put them on Twitter and he replied to us. I have no problem with this, but can I ask one thing? Please can you include my father's name with them in recognition of his collection. His name was Tony Robinson. Going to bed now feeling ace. Ace is a good word, but let's not get it overused because, you know, I don't want it to turn into brilliant.
I'm very proud of our listeners that he was called Tony Robinson and no one made any Baldrick jokes.
They did.
Did they?
Yeah,
oh.
They did.
Well,
they
whoever
did.
Whoever it was,
one,
shame on
one
you.
Did.
Shame
one,
on
one
you.
Did. He's very proud because going to bed now feeling Ace, I'm very proud because you're talking about his collection has in a weird way honored him for me. By the pictures being posted, more people see his collection than he could have ever have dreamed of. Thanks again and keep up the good work, Adam. I was thinking, Adam, what you should do, I could maybe help you do this, but you should tweet Coke. And
I looked up Coke.
So did I. I could find Diet Coke.
Diet Coke,
yeah.
Is the only one.
Yeah.
I was thinking...
Is that what you did?
Yeah.
I did, because I thought I'd do it. It only comes up with Diet Coke.
Yeah, and I couldn't see any Diet Coke in his collection. So
I don't know whether to do that or not, but maybe we send it to Diet Coke and see what happens.
Yeah.
Anyway, everyone, Adam, it was brilliant. Everyone seems to be impressed with your dad's collection. And yes, it is ace. Everyone seems to love the specials at the moment, don't they? Ronnie O'Sullivan, really popular, that one. People are still listening to that. It's very good. Stephen Tompkinson wearing his squash outfit and his diver's helmet.
That what colour was that, Tim?
That was kind of up the spectrum from red. Mark is still wearing shorts at this time of year. No, you're not actually, are you? Why are you not wearing shorts?
Because I get so much stick about them.
Mark has been turning up every week in shorts.
This is the only day this week I haven't worn shorts. I've worn trousers especially for the podcast.
Why are you still wearing shorts at this time
because
of year?
Because you have the heating on so high.
Yeah, but no, I don't.
You do. When I put my bag down...
Undersaw heating, Mark. That's what it is.
When I pick my bag up to leave of an afternoon once we've done the podcast, the bag is molten.
But you still have to walk here and back in your
shorts. Yeah, but I don't get that cold.
You're like an Australian or a South African, aren't you? They all walk around London, don't they, in their shorts.
Right.
They all do this sort of thing, you know, I don't know. I always look at them when I'm walking around London. I think this will only apply if you live in London. I don't know if they walk around.
Or Australia or South Africa.
Yeah, but they all walk around, don't they? And because they've got this sort of thing, right? Yeah, I don't care that it's cold in your country. Back home, I wear flip-flops every day and I refuse to change. So I'm going to walk around the tube system in my flip-flops.
Good on them.
It's winter. And they always wear their flags, don't they, as well? The Aussies and the Kiwis. Why aren't we saying... it's like why aren't we saying when they come over here they should respect our traditions and put some clothes on, put some shoes on? Why aren't we saying that to them, Mark?
Because we don't care. Yes, I think you should. Yes, you left me a little speechless there. I think... Yes.
I think maybe you're blaming my house, but I think I've been thinking about this. Maybe you're not suited for Earth's conditions.
I don't think I am.
Maybe if they, when they start, which they're going to do soon, according to Elon Musk and all that lot, start flying people.
I'm
up
not
to
going
Mars.
To Mars. That's even hotter. I will happily go to the peace and quiet of the moon, if it means I don't have to talk to strangers and it's got a decent climate.
Why not go to Mars? It'd be brilliant out there. You'll love it as well.
It's
because
too hot.
It'd be lawless as well.
Richard Branson will be there.
How long does it take to get to Mars? 2 or 3 months?
I don't know, Tim.
Or
I've
years,
never,
is
never
it?
Been,
I don't
been.
Know. It's going to be more than years. Not, well, more than weeks, isn't it? It's
not
months, if
not. Not if Southern Rail are going to start going out there. It'll take years.
What they haven't thought through is it's going to be lawless because it's going to be survival of the fittest and they're going to have to make their own laws up. Because they'll try to have... If you want to have the laws from Earth and you go, yeah, but you're gonna have to send police up from Earth. It's just a small community there. If you want to, you know, if you want to do a bit of murder, what are they going to do about it when you're
some,
up there?
Some people say we ramble on this podcast.
John Ronson's Psychopath Night. I went to see it.
Oh yeah, how was that?
It was really good. It was really good. Yes.
That actually sounded like an insincere question that people ask each other in podcasts, but you haven't actually told me about it.
No, it's very good. Do you know what was most impressive about him? He does this whole thing where he has two people on stage, which he told about.
Yeah.
Told us about. But what is impressive about him, he's actually very good at his delivery. He's very funny.
Yes.
So when you arrive, because he's quite, what's the word I'm looking for? You know, he's very Louis Theroux in the way they are. You know, he's, what's the word I'm looking for? But he's like a stand-up when he starts doing his stuff. He's really funny and he gets the crowd going. There's lots of humour in it. It was a fantastic night out. I thoroughly enjoyed it. If you get a chance to go and see Psychopath Night, I think he might have some dates left and I think he might be doing it again next year. So I'm actually not going to tell you what happens. But if you get a chance, I'd go and do it. Now, because we're working quite hard, we're expanding the podcast here. We're a bit like Tesco's or Nando's or something. We're sort of moving into new territory. We have a new member of the team, don't we, Mark?
We do, yes.
Her name is Fina, and she's come on board to try and help us out a bit, doing a few bits and bobs. Fina, welcome to the podcast.
Hello.
How are you enjoying yourself so far?
I'm good. I'm enjoying the coffee that you're making me, that's for sure. That's
good, yeah. And right, so first
is that it?
So yeah. she's not enjoying any.
She's not
of the
impressed
podcast.
So far, but the coffee's good.
I know you've turned up for a couple of the podcasts now, haven't you? And now we're actually going to talk to you and find out a bit about yourself. Tell us about yourself, Fina.
So I'm a freelancer in radio and podcast production. And yeah, I just work with a whole variety of people wanting to get into podcasts.
Yeah, so you've opened my eyes to something which is happening out there, which is the commercial podcast, where people in companies and things are making podcasts to promote their wares. Is that true?
Yeah, it's huge. I think it's... Well, a bit like this show, it's quite effective to build your own little community. And I think you can bring quite an interesting spin for companies to do it rather than being pure marketing. They can just talk about things they just want to talk about normally.
What sort of companies do it? Products?
Well, that's the thing. Not many are doing it yet in the UK, but I think that it's a whole right. So from like spinning companies to like...
Spinning?
You know spinning?
What, the cycling thing?
Yeah.
All right, okay.
What is spinning? I've never known what spinning is.
You get in a room and it's dark and they put flashing lights on and play music and there's a guy with a headset at the front going, now turn it up, go faster, 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 now slow down, slow faster, faster, up a hill, down a hill. It's like that.
Yeah.
You'd hate it.
Oh my God, that sounds...
Hate it.
And then imagine that in podcast format.
You'd rather go to Mars, wouldn't you, Mark? So the most of your work comes from America at the moment, yeah?
Yes.
And the amazing thing about the internet is you deliver it over here. You edit it and do it all over here, then send it back.
That's right.
Amazing. So podcasts is much bigger in America, aren't they? Because most of the podcasts we listen to are American, aren't they? So
yeah, I would say 50% of mine are American.
More than that for me. Definitely.
Really?
Is it a growth industry? Are we going down the right avenue here,
it's
Fina?
It's a very good point. I spoke to someone the other day and they're saying that they think it's really boomed in America, but they think it's because America didn't have... Now, don't correct me on this one, but they think that I didn't have such good radio as we do in the UK. So they made good podcasts.
I tell you what also is interesting, because I was thinking about this the other day, is we have radio, ad-free radio, or the BBC channels. And when you tune into commercial radio, it can be really hard, can't it, that every few minutes there's an ad running in it.
Every 20 minutes.
It can be more than that, can't it, Mark?
Most commercial stations.
We worked on commercial radio stations, but they can. Then you've got to run promos and things.
I could actually tell you at what times of the hour the advert will appear.
Go on then.
20 past, 40 past, and at the hour.
They never put them at the hour because they put interesting things like the news and stuff.
They put the news afterwards.
Do they? Okay.
Yes.
So you go off to talks and stuff as well, don't you? About podcasts.
So. Yeah.
When you go, you can maybe fill us in on where we're going.
So we don't have to go.
tell us what's happening. It's exciting though, isn't it? The podcast world's exciting because it feels really new. And everyone keeps on saying it's radio. It's not radio. Because all our interviews are long form. So you can't afford to do that on radio. We haven't got jingles to be playing constantly. We haven't got, we have actually, we've got a few of yours. We haven't got adverts running.
Not yet.
The only time you use music is when you are Googling on the show. So that's,
Yes, which is painful for the listener. So Mark wrote a jingle for it.
That was even more painful for the listener.
Right, Fina, let me ask you some more questions. What are you going to bring to this podcast?
Oh my goodness.
No, that's good. That's like a proper interview question.
It's like an interview.
Yeah, I'm going to ask her where she sees herself in 5 years.
Are you going to tell us, okay, we'll call you when she finishes.
What are you going to bring to the podcast, Fina?
I will bring coffee to the show.
Yes.
Yes. That actually got me thinking, what is now the etiquette each time we come here? Are we now going to totally run Tim making us coffee, or are we going to have some sort of subtle schedule?
Well, I like this because he now behaves himself when you're here, because he never
coffee
used to...
Coffee or tea, I can do anything. I can do them all.
She's got a tea trolley.
Yeah,
nice.
I can do them all. No, Mark, you've got this absolute... It's lies. Lies. I've made you so many coffees. I've even bought... what's that stuff you drink? Decaffeinated. Yeah, I've even bought you decaffeinated.
It's not like it's a rare thing.
Yes, it is.
It's very kind, but you couldn't think of it.
I'll even stick butter in it if you want. I make you teas if you want. I make myself mint teas. I've got hot water on tap. What do you think about that, Fida? Are you impressed?
Kwuka special. Kwuka. I like to call it. How you pronounce it?
How do you pronounce it? You're half Swedish.
I'm half Swedish, but I don't speak German or Dutch. But I would say Kwuka.
Kwuka. Kwuka, kwuka, I tell you. All right, now the most important question, and this is a serious question. How long do you think you'll last here? How long do you think you're going to stay with us? Come on. What are you thinking at this point?
About quarter to 2 on the clock. I'm going to say...
No, go on. What do you reckon?
Give me 23 minutes.
Do you reckon, seriously, because as the listeners can go, we can...
That's weird.
Why? That's a brilliant question. Imagine asking
that on a date, going...
How long should the relationship last?
How long are we going to go out for, do you reckon?
I think
I'm giving you 2 months.
Can you imagine though, right? You go for an interview, right? You're in a shoe shop or something, I don't know, or a bar, and they go to, Colin, seriously, how long do you think? And you honestly went, honestly, I don't really want to work in a bar for the rest of my life. I think a year max, probably, hopefully more like 6 months. That would be great, because then you know where you stand with your staff. Because you know, unless you're a career, that is your career, you want to do that. You know, then that's fine. You could go, well, I'm going to see myself here forever. So let's ask the question again. Fina, how long do you think you're going to stay on the podcast with us?
Indefinitely.
Oh, that's a good answer.
Might drop.
That's a good answer. Just a couple more questions. Do you have any problems you need help with at the moment?
I need to go to the gym more. Need help with that. I think that's a problem.
Is it?
Yeah, I like to think so. Okay. I've got a gym membership and I'm not really using it.
Solution to that, only go 20 minutes. If you set yourself a target of only 20 minutes exercise, you will end up going very regularly.
I do actually do that, and that doesn't really work.
Well, you only do 20 minutes anyway.
Yeah.
Do you? No. It is a way it works, though, because if you think
that was your cue to say, I don't think you need to go.
No, everyone needs to go to the gym, Mark. That's where you're wrong. I think it's good to exercise. 20 minutes a day is more than enough.
Well, I might do a social experiment, see what happens if I just don't go at all. People could pay me to do that.
No, go. It's good for you. It's about, we want healthy people on the podcast. Right, and my final question is, what is your favourite band of all time?
Oh, my goodness. Well, okay, don't judge.
I know Mark's. Mark's is the Beatles. What's mine, Mark?
Specials.
Yeah.
I feel like I might be really judged on this one. But
yeah, we are. It's 100%.
It's actually ABBA.
It has to be. I mean, you have to go to, stereotypical.
Between that or Roxette. A Roxette from Sweden?
I think so.
They're definitely.
What did they sing? Or Ace of Base? Yeah. Are they from Sweden?
Now you're gonna go. What's your favourite type of furniture? What's your favourite type of round shaped meat?
Oh, you're so racist.
Come on.
All right.
Yeah.
So ABBA. Yeah. ABBA. What's your favourite ABBA album? Mine's Greatest Hits.
It's Greatest Hits. It's just all the best.
I was not expecting ABBA. I was expecting someone I hadn't heard of. You know,
their album tracks are
some sort
rubbish.
Of DJ or something.
The thing with ABBA, the thing with ABBA is always brilliant. If you're at a karaoke ever and someone says, I'll pick a song for me, pick them ABBA, because they're so hard to sing. Because the keys, they go up very high.
I've only ever done karaoke once.
Have you? And what did you sing?
We sang the Minder theme tune.
That's all right, isn't it? It's like more talking. Should we get on with some problems? Let's do it. Right, okay. First problem. I'm sitting at my computer. This comes from Mina. She says, I'm sitting at my computer pretending to work as I work from home. Should I just give up and watch TV? Hashtag give up. I think working at home is really hard, even though we're doing this podcast here. I think you need to change the environment, go to a cafe, get some Wi-Fi going and be inspired. I think that's always the thing with work, is you need to create an environment where you're inspired. My mate was just in Bali recently. He went there to surf, but he said the amount of people who are on the beach who have got their computers, they're on, I have not been to Bali, so I don't know, but apparently bars and cafes all along the beach side. So they surf for half the day, they come back and they start working and they're all plugged in because obviously the internet and stuff. People are finding different places and different environments to work to get inspiration.
Too I think
Mars for you. Oh no, Mars is to moon. I just think it's finding the right environment and how to do it. I used to do this thing when I worked at BT Sport where it was so far away, the other side of London, and I used to have to go there for meetings that I started doing it on FaceTime from. I loved it. I was taking meetings in a different part of London to where all the production were, and I was living in the future. It was absolutely amazing.
Did you ever do it in your pants, just so you could say, "I've"?
Yeah.
That's because you only see the face, don't you?
I never did.
It's not
that
called
much.
Pants time,
no,
is it?
No, I never did it.
I bet you did.
Though, see, work environments are, I think, are important, because I remember working. You know, when you go to your work and you're just praying for it to end. I worked in mortgages for a while, and I used to sit there and just think, I can't wait for the day to end because this is so boring. I was in, what do you call those things?
Cubicles?
They put me in a cubicle. I just used to find it so hard because I like talking. And I'm sat in a cubicle, and it was painful experience. Fina, have you had any other jobs, proper jobs?
I have.
Like what?
I worked at publishers for a couple of years in marketing.
Mm.
And it was just too 9-to-5-y to me.
What was their work environment like, though? Because you look at places like Google and stuff. They make such great work environments for people that people like going there, and they feed them for free. And I think those things are brilliant because you feel like you're invested in the company then, because you're getting something back. So what was the work environment like there?
I would not say on par with Google, but they definitely want to make people feel good. But it was just, I think, my personal preference. I think because I did student radio at uni, and I was sort of trying to get back into that industry,
right?
Which is, as we all know, it's very tough.
Have you, Mark, any nice work environments? Radio's good. Virgin was all right, wasn't it?
Virgin, they're not bad. The best ones, I've done a little bit of writing for adverts, commercials and stuff, and some advertising agencies are unbelievable.
Beanbags.
They're like an adult play centre.
Beanbags. Oh, yeah. a pit of balls.
Yes. You beat me. You actually beat me to it.
Oh, that's brilliant.
And just, you know, the best sandwiches, not that I eat bread anymore, but the best, you know, like just like submarine style sandwiches.
Yeah.
Amazing. Well, they're called subs. I'd forgotten that's what they were called.
Yeah, that is what they're called.
Yeah. They're something else.
Because what a lot of people make the mistake of is they have a crap work environment and they go, hey, let's all go out to bowling or go-karting and bond. The people don't want that. They don't want to hang out with people. They do want to hang out with people outside work, but what they want is a nice work environment, 9-to-5. The mortgage one with me was terrible. And the problem with me was I was struggling to stay awake because I used to go out clubbing a lot of the time. And this just reminded me of that, talking about it. I used to hang out with, this is going to sound bizarre, but I used to hang out with Andrew Ridgely a lot when I was a kid, and that sort of scene.
Wait, back. As in Andrew Ridgely of Wham?
Yeah, because I played football and I was half decent at football, and there was a lot of players who were older than me and they were hanging out with that lot, and I used to go out with them.
I had a good Wham football joke there.
Go on.
Which position did Andrew Ridgely play?
So if it's rude, I'm not accepting
it. No, it's not rude.
What is
so
it?
At the back doing nothing.
Yes, it's rude.
No, how's rude. That rude?
There'd be no Wham without Andrew Ridgely. Anyway, so and I used to hang out with them, and we'd go out on a Wednesday night or whatever, all the clubs, and all my mates and stuff would do that. And I used to come in the next day, and I'd go, I'm really tired. I was at dinner last night with Pepsi and Shirley and Andrew and Martin Kemp and Paulie Yates, Bob Gale, you know, because that was the set. They were all hanging out, and I used to end up in this sort of thing. And no one would believe me. And it was really funny because one of the guys pulled me to one side one day and said,
"You've got to stop lying.
You've got to stop lying."
Oh, I love pub liars. They're the best, though, aren't they?
So, but it was because I was actually doing it. But I found the whole thing really amusing because they were sort of, they thought I was a fantasist. They really did. Because I was some fella from Watford who reckoned he was hanging out with the
Paulie Yates.
Paulie Yates or whoever on a weeknight. I think they thought I was Two Life Tim or something. Do you know what I mean? Hanging out. And there was this one guy called Derek who used to be out. There was me and Derek. And I remember sitting once at, I think it was a place called Camden Brasserie. And he was going out with Pepsi at the time. And I'd met up with him years later. And he went, "I hate you." And I went, "Why?" And he goes, "Because when we used to go out, we were the only two who weren't famous. And now you've got yourself on TV. And now it's me who's just the loser." Not that fame, by the way, is any form of success or whatever. But work environments, it's very important. I'll tell you more about the stories of hanging out with that lot as the podcast develops. But you've got to create a good environment. Got to go and find somewhere good to work. These days, what's really bizarre is you don't have to work from the office at all, do you?
No.
But I think working from home is really hard. I'm terrible at it. When I'm trying to write stuff for this podcast, I always go to a cafe.
I'm very good at it.
Are you?
Yes. I get up in the morning, exercise. So I go for a cycle, have coffee, sit down, and you do hour thing. So you do a couple of hours and then you go have a coffee break and then you do a couple of hours to lunch. Then you have your lunch. Yeah. Give yourself an hour at home for lunch, because otherwise and then do another couple of sort of hour and a half chunks.
Do you know what I used to do? Finish
about 4:30. Don't go mad.
Yeah. That'll get the ratings up, your work day. Look at me. He's looking like he wants to kill me. Do you know what I used to do, Mark, until very, very recently?
I thought
recently.
This was an advice podcast, not I used to hang out with Paula Yates podcast. I'll brag, shall I?
Yeah, go on.
Okay.
Who did you hang out with?
Bob Carroll Juice.
Yes, spit the dog.
I didn't.
I used to...
I was just lying like Tim used to.
Fantasist like me.
Tim Liarjoy.
I used to get on my scooter, and then I used to hop on my scooter and I used to drive into the West End, park up and go and find somewhere nice to go and work. But now I can't, Mark. Do you know why I can't? Do you know why I can't, Fina? Because someone's stolen my Vespa. This is big news. Don't honor me, because this is big news on Twitter. Everyone's gone mad for it. 5 scooters in 18 months I've had nicked. I've finished now with my scooter riding. No more. I just can't do it anymore. 2 locks this time. And they one lock, so you know my house, Mark, and there's one bolted to the floor, and then they've got through the two locks. They got it over a fence. It even had a tracker on it. That bike is, excuse my language, it's bloody heavy. 4 of them had to lift it over, and they bothered to do it. It's the dilemma, isn't it, of what you can do about it? Because do you know the police aren't allowed to chase them.
Right, why?
Or in case they come off and hurt themselves. So it's kind of this thing is, I don't want young kids to come off their scooters and killing themselves, obviously, but I also don't want more crime. So there's literally no solution to this problem.
There must be a solution.
What is it? The hippie inside me, because I've tweeted about it and lots of people have retweeted and talked about it, because it's huge in London, the crime for scooter theft. And obviously people are using the scooters for theft. A lot of people contacted me. The police actually contacted me.
Oh, yeah. What did they say?
They said, we hear you've been subject of a crime. Would you like to discuss it with us? And would you like any help? And blah, 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 blah. Would you like some safety tips? And I went, it's pointless. Not safety. What's the word? I'm looking. Security tips. And I said, it's absolutely pointless, because they went through once. I had 3 locks on it once and parked up in Maida Vale. And they went through 3 locks in a minute. They've got handheld axle grinders, so they can just get through it. But I said to them, the hippie side of me... sort of says, why are they doing it? I don't think it's a police problem. I think it's a political problem, Mark. That's what I think it is. I do actually feel sorry for the police, because when I met the last one, when I had my bike nicked, he just looked so depressed, because he had actually, it was an attempted theft and they found the guy. The guy came off
the
bike.
This is the time before last.
Yeah. And the policeman just looked so depressed, because he says, just nothing we can do. So, you know, I feel sorry for them, because they can't do their job. And there's so many of them going, Nick, there's nothing they can do. But, and they know they use them for their more crimes. So it's just...
Isn't there like a thing they can do? You know where they buy these? I know you've... You know where you buy like handheld axle grinders and bottles of acid and baseball bats? Like, you don't need a baseball bat unless you're playing baseball, do you? Is there some sort of proof where you go, what do you need this axle grinder for? Like, are you a plumber? Are you Corgi registered? Do you know what I mean?
I think personally, getting serious here, but I think we need a dramatic change in society, Mark. People need to feel like they're engaged. They need to feel like they belong to society. Capitalism does not work, Mark. Everything being a competition does not work. Listen to Will Storr. He's really opened my eyes to that, actually. Capitalism is not working.
What do you suggest?
It's not working. What?
What do you suggest? What form of...
People with capitalism, you've got just huge competition. You've got people collecting money. The distribution of wealth in the world is absolutely ridiculous. I don't think socialism works either. We need another way. I suggest vote Tim. Vote Tim.
I thought we were going to get somewhere with this conversation, but it turns out it's just more Lovejoy propaganda.
We need another way. We need to find visionaries. You listen to all these politicians.
Oh, where could we find one, Tim?
Vote Tim. No, seriously, we've got to look. Just Google rich people in your country, then Google poor people, and just see the distribution. Like, you've got people banging on about their Ferraris or something, and then you've got other people who can't afford to even eat. It's just mental. It's madness. Mark, it's madness.
And this all came from a scooter. It's pretty good.
It's madness. I don't know what to do, but we need to sort of, I don't know, we need to get people like Elon Musk and people like that, like proper...
But they won't, because people won't like that because they've got too much. Visions. But they've got too much money, and the whole point of Trump coming in was that he was against all that. And he had two, but it hasn't. Well, we'll see if it works out.
Oh, it's not. It's no one's fault. But I think
what you're saying is it's a problem with society.
We have to accept it's not working. And every time I say to my mates, capitalism just doesn't work. Yeah, what was a better option? Which is what you've just said, actually.
No, I haven't. I hate it when you do impressions of me, because right. it's not accurate. You called me the other day. You called me the other day and you said to me, you talk about something and you didn't appreciate me. I really don't think I talk like that.
Well, yeah, have your moments. I don't know. Anyway, we've got to accept the system doesn't work. And then we've got to look at... We can't keep doing the same system. We've got to look at something else. And so, you know, what we're doing, we'll get better locks on the bike. Someone tweeted me. I can't think of the name of the politician who comes up with the wacky ideas. But his idea is if you buy everyone a scooter, no one will nick them. Which I quite liked.
That's pretty good. That's quite the universal scooter credit.
Yeah, everybody gets a scooter. If everybody gets one of everything.
Yeah.
Whatever you want, one of everything, and then no one will need anything. Yeah, I don't know what we're going to do in the future, though, because like, we've got a problem with housing. It just doesn't work. Anyway, vote Tim. I wanted to get involved in politics, but... When I dip my, I dip my paw in briefly.
Toe. Tim's tangled turn of phrase. And at this point, we realised we hadn't been recording for God knows how long. So we picked up where we thought we left off and started again, basically. Anyway, back to the podcast.
Next problem comes from Gary Gazza. People ask this question all the time, so I thought we'd run through it again. Do I leave a well-paid job to find happiness and a job I may love? Hashtag ask Lovejoy. Of course you do. Of course you go for a job that you love, though. You've got to try and find it before you leave a well-paid job, or if you've got outgoings, you need money, obviously. You don't want to get yourself in huge debt. It's not really a thing to do. Just be sensible, basically.
They have to sort of cross over, don't they? That sort of thing where you're training to do and you're learning how to do the next job before you've completely quit the other one. Do you know what I mean?
If you're a single person, you've got no responsibilities, you've got no mortgage, you've got no debts, you've got nothing to do what you want.
Yeah.
Just go for it. But if you've got responsibilities, children, mortgages to pay and stuff like that, then you've got to, obviously, there's got to be a bit of you where you go, I've got to be sensible here, but definitely you've got to go for your dream job. You've got to do it. I think what the Buddhists say is, if you're going to go looking for a good career, be sensible. Don't be an arse.
I think that was one of their more sort of lengthier, ruder, phrases, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah. But it's in the books if you read them.
Which book is this, Tim?
The book on Buddhist phrases. Now I met an Uber driver the other day. It just made me think about this, and he just phoned me. You know where they pick you up? They can. He phoned me before he picked me up, and he went, hello, Mr. Lovejoy. And I went, yeah. I know Tim. They get my first name, don't they? Hello, Tim. And I went, yeah. And he goes, are you ready for your lift? I will be there in 2 minutes. And I went, okay. So he arrives, and I think, this is fun. Anyway, he got in the car, and he went, I've moved the front seat forward for you. You're in first class now, my friend. And he said, I'm going to give you the best drive of your life. I thought, God, this guy's brilliant. He's so happy. So I started talking to him about his life. And he loved it because he worked for himself now. He worked his own hours, and he got to see his kids.
Yeah.
And he said, I am so happy. And so I said to him, what have you been doing before? And he'd been working. This is what he said. He said, I've been working on a production line. I've been putting bits on cars.
Right.
And he kept on saying, I've been working alongside robots. He kept saying that. I've been working alongside robots. And he said, and I hated it because he'd been doing it for 9 years. And he said, the stress. He said, the robots don't make mistakes and I've got to keep up with them. And he was in. So I don't get what actually happens. I assume there's bits of a car that a robot can't put on and they still get a human to put on. Is that right?
Like the air freshener. Do they come with an air freshener?
I think so, yeah. I don't know. I don't really know what it meant, but
But it was an enjoyable conversation.
Well, he hadn't because he hadn't realised how low he'd come in his life. And then one day he thought, I can't take it anymore. Became an Uber driver. He laughed and smiled my whole journey. He was so happy. And he just kept on saying, I don't have to work with robots anymore. And I just thought...
That's extraordinary. Really... Because you think how bad it is driving in London.
Yeah.
And it was better than that factory.
Well, it was nighttime, so the traffic is better at night. But he just loved it. But he loved it. Nice. He said, I get to see my kids. I'm not always stressed. I'm not tired. And he said, it's so hard to stand in his line. He goes, he just felt free. He smiled the whole way. So it's really good. Right. Do you want to hear some pearls of wisdom, life hacks, things they didn't teach you at school?
I would absolutely love to, Tim.
The way we do this now is we've changed the system a bit. Mark sends me three random words, and then I.
You tailor make them; they're bespoke, aren't they?
Dig into my brain.
I think it's quite a special skill you have.
And you often say my pearls of wisdom aren't good, but we've got Fina here today, and so Fina can maybe be a better judge of whether these pearls of wisdom are any good. You up for
don't
Fina?
Go crawling. Be honest.
I'm curious.
Just saying, Fina, when we start divvying out the cash we get from sponsors, you know, it's worth thinking about this. Dreams was the first word. Now, this is what I think about dreams. You're always told to follow your dreams. That is not a bad shout. But make them realistic and realise you don't have to work with the dream gods. Sorry. Dreams. You're always told to follow your dreams. That's not a bad shout, but make them realistic and realise you have to work with the dream gods. It doesn't just happen because you're a nice person in cool-fitting jeans. Don't just say, I had a dream of being a basketball player when you are 5'2". It won't work. I want to be a pop star and I'm going to do this by sitting on my ass watching Dance Mums. That will not work. No one hands you your dreams. So what I'm saying there is basically... If you've got a dream, make sure it's realistic and make sure you're going to put some effort into it. Fina?
I'm pretty empowered. I'm slightly empowered from that, but I want to hear a bit more.
There is no more. Mark?
I thought it was really good, Tim, actually. Oh, I don't know why Fina's being so rude about them.
Brilliant. Mark's percentage goes up. Next word he sent me was instruction. If you're going to take instruction off another human being, the most important question is what mistakes do people make? Being aware of what not to do is as important as what to do. I learned this, and I promise you, this is such good advice. If you say you're going snowboarding, and the first time you learn it, you go and they tell you what to do. Then you go, what is the first thing all beginners do? And the first thing you do if you're going snowboarding is you straighten your legs and you lean back, because you're going down a hill, you lean back. As soon as you lean back, your ball goes out, it hurts. Or you straighten your legs and you go over frontwards. You've got to keep your legs bent and don't lean back, lean over your board. That is the golden thing with snowboarding. And that's what happened the first time I went snowboarding. What shouldn't I do? Don't lean back. What do you think of that, Fina?
Good, but I think it does help to experience what it feels like to fall.
What? Oh, Fina.
I thought you were going to say something else. I liked it, see, Tim, I liked it. But it wasn't really anything to do with the word instruction.
Can I just read the beginning again? If you're taking instruction off someone, if you're taking instruction.
Yeah, but you do this thing where you put the word into the sentence and then go, and then you kind of...
Yeah, but it's true. If you're going swimming, and you go, I'm going to learn front crawl, what mistake do people make? There you go. Yeah. And then they tell you so you can stop making the mistake that most people make, because most people make the same mistakes all the time. If you know not to make that mistake, it's important as knowing how to do it properly. Thank you. The final one is promise. And this is brilliant, this one.
Is this is pretty tangential as well, is it?
This is gold dust, this is. Never, ever use the word promise unless you are 100% confident of delivering it. Breaking a promise is akin to a lie. Lying is very bad for you.
I can't believe we give this podcast away free sometimes.
Fina?
That is the wisest one you said so far.
What? Yeah. They're all wise. I tell you what made me think of that. Well, it's quite a good word you sent through. Is my daughter Jamie, who's 4 and a half now, always says to me, can I have something or something? Ask something. And I go, maybe, whatever. She goes, promise. And I always have to say to her, no, I'm not promising you because I'm not sure I'm going to deliver on that. And she goes, promise. She's learned the word promise means I get it. So yeah, she always goes, promise, promise, and looks at me. So she uses it. She's already understands that if I say promise, it's more likely to happen. So I always say, no,
she's
I'm not
clever.
Promising. No, I just the way children use language is great. I had obviously I have twins, and when they were younger, you used to obviously when you say to children, and you say it more so with twins than anything, you go share, because they get one thing and then you want them to share it. And so what the word share to us means, you know, both have a go on it. The word share to them means I can grab it off you and say the word share, which means I get it. So say I've got a ball and I want the ball. I grab the ball and go share. And that means, you know, I get the ball.
That's do you think that has anything to do with the, you know, the rise of sharing plates at pubs and restaurants these days?
No, it doesn't, Mark.
Okay.
Fina, what do you think of Mark's rubbish? I'm glad we've got Fina here now. She can mark you down for your nonsense. Right, if you want to write to us, this is the address, the email address.
If what you want to ask is just too long for Twitter, don't stress. We've got an easy-to-remember email address. This is the reason for this overly long song. It's dearlovejoypodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah, dearlovejoypodcast@gmail.com. We've got one final problem today, and this is sent to us on email. Quite a strange one there. Don't really know what I'm going to do with this, but we'll give it a go. This comes from Victoria, who says, Dear TV Tim and Mark, loving the podcast. I've listened to a few podcasts now, and I'm catching up from the start, up to 15 so far. What are we at, 48?
Yeah, this is 48.
Gosh, she's got quite a lot to go.
Right. I feel a bit sorry for her.
My friend has a problem. There is a cupboard at work and it backs onto some desks and runs along one of the access routes to the kitchen. I'm trying to visualise this. We use the cupboard a lot and have items on the top shelves, in brackets, a good stretch, all the way down to the floor. I generally end up kneeling on the floor. The problem comes when other staff try to get past while someone is working in the cupboard. The space is quite narrow and it is a squeeze. Yet the same people insist on doing it, even if they can't see that someone is working in the cupboard. I have tried diversion signs and leaving both doors open perpendicular to the cupboard, so it creates a physical barrier, but it makes no difference. I have no idea what she's talking about. She might as well be speaking Swedish for all I know. I have now resorted to passive-aggressive tutting. I like a good tut.
Yeah.
I think there should be a tut emoji. I'd be sending that to you a lot, Mark, rather than the bicep one. I'm fed up of people climbing over me because they can't be bothered to take the longer, in brackets, by about 10 steps to the kitchen.
Victoria's annoyed because...
She says, what do I do, Mark? That's what she says.
Well...
I don't understand.
There's a narrow passage between someone's desk and cupboards.
The subject matter is called squashed in a cupboard. What job are they doing where they're in a cupboard?
I don't know.
What job is Victoria doing?
Getting stuff out of it, I suppose. Maybe with some filing.
I really don't know.
Stealing stationery? I don't know.
I'm sure the Buddhist monks have some pearls of wisdom which will help solve my problem. Much love, Victoria. Right, so she's in a cupboard. If I can understand what job she was doing, why are you in a cupboard? You're collecting...
Well, I mean, it's an office-based job, isn't it? By the sounds of it.
Well, I would see routes to the kitchen.
Offices have kitchens.
Yeah, I know, but does that mean it's, I don't know, maybe it's like a fast food restaurant and they're getting the burger baps down or something. I don't know. What do you think this, what's she talking about, Fina?
Desks are involved in the scene though at some point.
Desks? Yeah, well, where's the desks bit?
Right at the top.
Yeah. There's like a narrow...
Oh, yes, you're right. So it's an office space. Yes, sorry. Yes, very good. See, Fina's observant. There is a there's a cupboard at work and it backs onto some desks. Yes, Mark, she knows her stuff. And runs along one of the access routes to the kitchen. All right, so she, look, I don't really...
This has been the problem with the podcast. I've just realised you don't listen to me when I'm talking.
Sorry, Mark. Yeah, no, possibly I don't. The problem, I think she's going to have to realise that. What do you mean with a problem with the podcast? I listened to that bit. What's the problem with this podcast?
Yeah, people like it.
People like it. They enjoy it. Apparently. Right, you've got to realise that nothing's going to change, right? That's the first thing you've got to realise. You can't control them. You can only control yourself. We know that. We've discussed this many times on this podcast. You need to either change the system for everybody or you need to change your view on it. I think that's... Do you know what? It's a real problem. We've talked a lot about work on this podcast, but certain things that annoy you when you work with someone. I once had someone who used to come in and his hair gel was just so revolting, the smell of it, not his actual hair gel, the look. The smell of the hair gel was so revolting that I thought, I've got a problem with this. It's making me feel nauseous. I've got a problem with smells. I'm not really a massive fan on perfumes, and there's some smells which make me feel quite sick. So I went and gave him some money and said, can you buy some more hair gel to use? Is that a bad thing to do? I'm not sure. Is that bad?
I don't think so.
There was a guy I worked with, and every single day, you'll know if he listens to this who he is. Every day he ate chicken and chips with mayo on it. Every single day of his life he ate that. And it used to really wind me up.
Why? Because of the smell or just because he used to do it every day? Hate routine and predictability.
Because he did it every day. After a while, I went to a stage where I found it amusing. And then after a while, I was like, this is really winding me up that you're eating chicken and chips every day. That's it. There was a girl I used to work with who used to buy chicken sandwich every day. And I used to have to watch her. And she used to pick the breast apart and try and find like veins and stuff and any bits of stuff and pull them out. I used to sit there watching her do it. Just eat it.
Close your eyes and eat it.
There was a guy I worked with who used to drink those like non-stop, those flavoured waters. What are those flavoured waters? You know those, they're like orange and bright red and orange and yeah, lemon and all that, like water. And I used to say to him, why don't you drink water? And he used to say to me, water doesn't taste very nice. Water, the thing that keeps you alive more than anything else in the world, you can go without food for 3 weeks. You can't go without water for 3 days, right? The thing that is going to keep you most alive doesn't taste very nice. And that used to really wind me up. I was like, how has this man arrived at this situation where the thing that's going to keep him alive, apart from oxygen, doesn't taste very nice.
That's why I drink fizzy water, because I don't really like the taste of water either.
What do you mean the taste? It's what's keeping you alive.
I know, but it's better when it's fizzy.
You're not made for Earth. That's your problem, Mark. You've arrived on the wrong planet. This is not your planet. It's not a suitable planet for you. You don't like the stuff, the substance which is keeping you alive. You don't like the climate.
I don't like the other people on it.
You need to move to Mars. No, it's too hot. You need to move somewhere. Anyone you've worked with who's annoyed you at all?
Oh, everyone, I would say. I'm pretty intolerant of people's behaviour.
Oh, you are, yeah.
So I'm probably not the best person to ask on this because I would be here all day.
Yeah. It's a bit about communication, isn't it? So if something is annoying, you have to tell them. But then it's quite hard to tell someone that eating chicken and chips every day is annoying you because, A, you just look stupid, and B, it's none of your business. I mean, if someone wants to eat chicken and chips every day, that's their business, and you just got to accept it. The fact that it starts winding you up is your problem, isn't it? It's my problem that it was winding me up. So I think the conclusion to this, Victoria, is your problem. What's a little bit of argy-bargy in a cupboard
Fair enough.
I think communicate with them for starters. Say to them, look, I just go, Jesus Christ, isn't there a chance you could just walk around when I'm in the cupboard because you always bump me? It'd just be really nice if you just did that. The first thing, communicate. Then go, if they can't do it, just go, all right, they're going to do it every time, so just do it.
Or absolutely lose your marbles in a sort of horrific, aggressive freak out.
No. And then
you've got to treat the office like prison. You've got to show them who's the daddy. And then they'll all be so scared of you. They'll do whatever you want. Like, oh, Victoria, could I have a cup of... Would you like a cup of tea? I'm just going to the kitchen. Yes, I would.
That's followed by a trip to personnel. Don't do that because you might lose your job. Follow my advice. Just accept it. Accept it. There must be a... What do they call it? An acronym for accept. Can we come up with one of those? Accept
responsibility... Self, I'm trying to think of the word that spells arse.
All right, accept it, change the system, communicate, engage,
persevere,
prepare for failure, or persevere.
And tut, there we go.
And tut, yes! Who is worth having Fina on the podcast?
This is why she's paid the big bucks.
Yes, Fina's arrived with her first funny. Brilliant. Well done, Fina.
I reckon that's the funniest thing that Fina's ever said.
Ever said on this podcast. Ever said on this podcast. That's it for this week's podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. Please contact us. You can tweet us at Tim Lovejoy, email us at dearlovejoypodcast@gmail.com. You can subscribe to us and you can rate us. Remember, voting Tim is a really good idea. I'm going to do it. I'm going to get into I can't even tell
you. You can't even finish that sentence. That was so ludicrous. I love that.
Anyway, goodbye. We'll see you next week. And remember, peace and love joy.
Bye.
That didn't sound great, did it? Thanks for sticking with us if you got this far. And, well, sorry about that again. And enjoy the outro music. Bye!
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.